Them Podcast with Landon McCool.
How about them Cowboys indeed?
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the How About Them Podcast. I am your host, Landon McCool, and well, we are past the dress rehearsal. I mean, it still is crazy to me how fast this all seemed to have gone. Everything just seemed really fast and furious. It's like suddenly we have football, suddenly we're in the middle of the preseason, suddenly training camp's happening, and then suddenly training camp is basically over. I mean, they have one more preseason game. This week has been totally insane. They're playing this game on Thursday. I'm recording to you just to kind of set the context for any future person who's listening to this podcast and doesn't understand the context of what this week was. I'm recording this on a Tuesday, and there has been the hurricane that has hit Houston that has been just devastating. I have lots of friends in Hurricane Harvey's wake, and I've got countless number of people that we're still waiting to hear, more positive reviews. But I think at this point, I think I can safely, without a doubt, give my condolences to anyone who was, put in any kind of harm's way by Harvey. It's absolutely terrible. And hopefully, everyone has had an opportunity to kind of donate money, time, blood, items, whatever you can to the relief, because, for people that are Texans, and specifically, Houston's and people from Galveston, is it Galvestonians? This is obviously particularly hitting us hard. So, if you can and you still have time, please don't feel like, even though the news coverage may stop, this is going to be something that's going to affect South Texas for many, many weeks and months, and probably, just to kind of show where Katrina, what it did to New Orleans. Maybe Houston hasn't experienced that level of destruction, but Houston will forever be scarred, from this, and will need assistance for a long time coming after this. So please donate what you can, and find a particular charity that you think is best serving the situation, and please donate to that. Our hearts and thoughts are out to any of my viewers that are in the Houston area. Obviously, again, as a Texan, I feel for you, and anything that I can do, please reach out, and I will do so. And along those lines, what this has done is it has changed the venue of where our preseason game against the Houston Texans was going to be. Obviously, it was at Energy Stadium, Houston, originally, and has been moved to Dallas, and Dallas has taken in the Texans team into the facility, and they are, kind of practicing on our fields and everything. And from what I understand, that there's going to be a fundraiser tonight featuring the Cowboys to send proceeds to Houston. I think the proceeds of the preseason game are going to go to Houston. So, obviously, I'm talking a lot about this because it's all obviously very relevant to what's going on. And just again, as context for what the overall situation is. So, we here at the How About Them podcast are focused on football related things. Obviously, this seems like a thing that is much larger than that. So I kind of wanted to just get that out there up front. And so having kind of set the context for all that, let's talk about the actual football side of this. So, as everyone knows, we finished our kind of just rehearsal game last week. This was sort of the youngins game. The fourth preseason game is always an opportunity for kind of these last few guys who are just on the bubble to really kind of make that final push, or to kind of finish up their competition to see who's going to get these last few spots. And then for everybody else, it's really just about putting good tape out there for anybody that may be searching for when they get cut, to see if they can become a member of another franchise. So obviously really important for the down roster folks, but as far as the Cowboys top end and the 53-man roster, I don't know that this is going to have a ton of effect. It's really more about these last few guys kind of getting some work in before the season, that some of these younger DBs that are more than likely roster locks but they haven't gotten a ton of work, so they're actually going to get an opportunity to go out there and move around and do some football stuff before they have to, you know, step up for week one and see, you know, what their role is. So I thought what we would do is I kind of have constructed my third iteration of a 53-man roster, and then actually I got to 52. So, and the reason that I kept it like that is because I don't really know exactly – none of us really know exactly what the Zeke situation is going to be. Obviously, we've gone over all the variations, but I left an open spot with the idea that maybe there's a chance that Zeke could get an injunction, and that all is – you know, if he can get through the loophole of not being put on the commissioner's exemption list. So, but I thought it would be, this would be a good vehicle to discuss the roster, discuss updates on the roster, discuss how maybe some of these people played in the game versus the Colts. And since, you know, a lot of these guys, I mean, you know, aren't either going to be playing at all in this game, or if they are going to play, it doesn't really matter. The game won't really affect their roster status, and I mean, unless someone gets hurt, or unless someone, I mean, that's really, getting hurt is really the only thing that can really, I think, super change this. You know, with maybe some exception for Cooper Rush if he just forgets how to play football for a while. But so here, I thought we'd start with the defense, and then we'll move over to the offense. I've got 10 defensive backs. Nolan Carroll, Lewis, Brown, Scandrick, Awuzie. I have Marquez White, Xavier Woods, Byron Jones, Kayvon Frazier, and Jeff Heath. This is actually the same 10 that I've had the whole time. I know some people wanted to put Duke Thomas in and keep him. I never really saw what everyone else saw with Duke Thomas. I thought he was okay. I understand the availability aspect of that, but Marquez White's stuff was never really serious, and every time he's on the field, he does stuff, it feels like. So I kept Marquez White over Duke Thomas just because I feel like his injury wasn't serious. The talent difference to me was noticeable between the two, and I think he has more upside too. So you know, again, what Awuzie does is allows you to kind of keep four cornerbacks and then five cornerbacks and then five safeties. Well, it's actually, I guess, four cornerbacks and four safeties. Three, four, five, six, eight, nine, ten. Yeah, so I mean, really, but my point is that Awuzie kind of being both allows you to keep, you know, four of him and then four of the other, and allow Awuzie to kind of be the sub for either one. And so what it ends up in the real count is six corners and four safeties, with Awuzie being kind of the back and forth guy. So I think that just makes the most sense. I think just that group, that combination, it gives you what you need backup wise. You get all the talent that you need, and it just kind of, everyone has kind of a very well-defined role, I think, with this group. So that's where I've got 10 defensive backs. I have six linebackers, counting towards the roster, with Hitchens being on IR as a seventh. And just a reminder, you know, because this is something we didn't talk about, because Hitchens wasn't hurt the last time we talked. The IR now has two eligible return slots. You don't have to designate them beforehand. So if the Cowboys decided that they wanted to IR Hitchens, which I think they probably will, just because the length of time on the injury, it's, you know, they said 8 to 10 weeks. That kind of lines up where he would be able to return from the IR return anyways. So I think that would make sense. You know, I do remember that Dez had a very similar, I think similar injury, and was able to come back after three games. So there could be, I mean, we're being told the much longer, you know, timeline. I do remember Dez having a similar shorter timeline, but I think we should probably go with what they're telling us versus assuming that Dez and Hitchens can heal at the same rate, or, you know, that Dez was even fully healthy when he came back last time. So my six linebackers that I have making the roster are Lee, Smith, Wilbur, Wilson, Durant, and then Zacha. And I think that that's, you know, that's the group that, again, I don't really don't think that was very difficult for me. I mean, I think that's the group that makes sense. I think Inzaghi, unfortunately, may be a guy who they will look at as one of the guys to get cut when some of these suspended players start coming back. But that's a decision that they can, you know, obviously kick down the road for a little while. You know, otherwise, I think what we've seen out of Jalen and is that he, I think, can handle probably, you know, half the role. I think, you know, clearly it makes, they're making it sound like Justin Durant and Jalen Smith are going to split the role of Anthony Hitchens. You know, depending on how that gets split up, you know, it could be a 50-50 split. I wouldn't be surprised if, and Brian Broaddus has kind of, you know, suggested this as well, if Jalen ends up playing kind of the run thumper, you know, first two down linebacking spot, and then Durant comes in as kind of your nickel backer. And then, you know, that Deacon defense, it'll be interesting to see exactly if they use Jalen there or if they end up using Durant there. Durant was really great there last year. I think Smith has a lot of potential there doing that job, but Durant, we know, was really good at that job. So he could easily do it immediately, and maybe later Smith kind of takes that job away from him as he gets health more and more healthy, more and more comfortable. So that'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out. But I think I know a lot of people talked about what are they going to do once Hitchens got hurt? What, you know, are they going to get another guy? And a lot of that talk was before we knew that it wasn't an ACL injury, that we thought that Hitchens was gone for the year. I thought even when it was an ACL injury that they shouldn't panic and necessarily go out and try to spend resources to get a guy. But now, especially now that we know it's not an ACL, I really don't think they should do that. I think that they can, you know, they can weather this in-house without a doubt. And I think that, you know, there's this tendency, because we're not in the season yet, to, you know, try to overreact and to kind of like try to go spend resources to fix every problem. But I think people forget that, like, once you kind of get into that regular season mentality, that's just not how you solve problems. You know, you're trying to keep a roster together that you've trained, you know, and there's definitely a point when you're trying to get the lower people in your roster up to replace the upper people if they get injured, because they're more familiar with what you're doing. You're not having to spend resources to, you know, fix a temporary problem. Well, I think that's why they do this. That's why they believe in next man up mentalities, because it's also a cheaper roster solution as well. Moving on to defensive linemen, I have 9 making the roster, but 11 total, because we are including Irving and Moore, who both face suspensions. Irving, obviously, the 4-game, and Moore, the 2-game. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I'm just counting to make sure that I actually got the numbers right, but I did. So I have 9 names that are going on the roster. 11 if you include Irving and Moore, who don't count towards the roster. So Irving and Moore are on the suspended list. And then the 9 names are Lawrence, Crawford, Taco, Tapper, Malik Collins, Paya, Thornton, and Lewis Neal. I had Lewis Neal as the 53rd man. I mean, if he gets in there and shows out, maybe they end up cutting somebody else. I wouldn't be surprised. I will say that I wouldn't be surprised if Ivy was in here somehow, whether just as a 10th defensive lineman. That, you know, because as I said up front, my roster here is only going to have 52 names, because I don't really know, you know, exactly what the deal is with Zeke. So maybe that 53rd guy is Ivy. And then, you know, they can sort out who gets cut when Irving and Moore get back later. But either way, I think the, you know, Neal and Ivy, if Ivy is that extra guy, are the two bottom of the roster guys. And you know, we'll see how that all shakes out. I feel probably a little bit more confident that Neal would make the team over Ivy, though. As I say that, you know, I mean, Marinelli clearly has his guys, and Ivy clearly seems to be one of his guys. So we'll see. Who knows? I definitely would not be surprised at all if Ivy was the name here, instead of Neal or in addition to Neil. And then three special teamers, obviously Bailey Jones and LP, no surprises there. At quarterback, I started out having two, and frankly, even up front, I put my very first 53-man roster, I put QB2 because I ultimately could not put myself – my very first 53-man roster, I only kept two quarterbacks. And I listed Dak, and then I listed the second quarterback as QB2 because I could not put myself down to list Kellen Moore as that quarterback. And I also was afraid to put Cooper Rush in there because that's what I believed, and I was not confident enough in myself, you guys, and I should have been, because ultimately that seems to be what's playing out. Now, it does feel like maybe they end up keeping three quarterbacks, and you know, I'm obviously against that, but just because I don't know what are we doing with Kellen Moore? What are we doing here with this? I just don't know what we're doing here with this. I think Cooper Rush, you know, kind of going back to obviously what another fantastic game he had against Indianapolis. My feelings about the backup quarterback position is there is certainly, say what you want about the inside the QB room, all that stuff. I think that a lot of that can be dismissed because I think there's a lot of good voices for Dak to listen to, and I don't think having a lack of good voices on the sideline in the QB room is the problem. What I will concede is that you do need a quarterback who can come in on a moment's notice in the middle of a game because your quarterback got hurt and the offense needs to be able to continue to move. Now, that doesn't mean that it needs to be as good because that is an unrealistic expectation, but you can't completely derail the offense by coming into the game. And, you know, like, as much as that, you know, as quote-unquote experience is used as a reasoning for having a more experienced backup quarterback than obviously an undrafted free agent rookie, you know, how much more comfortable, thank you very much, thank you for that pun, how much more comfortable are you with Kellen getting in the game, you know, walking into a game, than Cooper Rush? I will admit that I'm probably slightly more comfortable, and that's only due to the fact that Kellen Moore has more NFL experience than Cooper Rush. But that's the only reason. It's because he has those, you know, he has those games under his belt. And it becomes kind of a catch-22 for Cooper Rush. It's like, how are you supposed to get games under your belt if you never get put into a game because you don't have enough experience to get into the game? So in my head, I put down Kellen Moore because I think he's going to make the team, but I would probably roll with two quarterbacks. I think there's a lot of talent on this team, and I'd hate to cut some of these guys off because I'm keeping Kellen Moore because I feel slightly better about his chances stepping in for Dak if Dak were to get injured in the middle of a game than Cooper Rush. I think I would take the chance because I think Cooper Rush hasn't backed down from these situations, and I understand what kind of disaster you're inviting to a certain degree. But I think with a young, very young, big, strong quarterback, it's a risk I'm willing to take for the roster spot. And like I said, it's not like putting Kellen Moore in there is without risk. There's plenty of risk in putting Kellen Moore as your backup quarterback. So I think, having said that, like I said, I end up keeping three because I think that's what they'll do, but I personally probably would end up keeping two. Running back, I have four on the roster because Zeke is my suspended guy. So five total running backs making the team, but only four actually being added on the 53 for week one. And so that's McFadden, Morris, Rod Smith, and Keith Smith. You know, none of this is – I've had Rod Smith making the team since my first iteration. And he actually took team snaps with the ones the other day, which got a lot of us really excited. But you know, look, I think that to me, Alfred Morris should be the guy who's getting the majority of these carries. I think more and more people are seeing that too. I think McFadden should retain his backup running back role, because I think that's the role that he fits best in. I think all of these guys should have a role in this offense, even maybe less of Morris when Zeke gets back, but I think Rod Smith and Keith Smith should continue to get touches even once Zeke is back, because I think that they both have a skill set that is usable in this offense. But I do feel comfortable with that position. I do feel comfy with the depth. I do feel comfy with the guys. So I'm thrilled with where we are at the running back position right now. I know that there is, I know some people have liked what they've seen out of Ronnie Hillman to want him to kind of also be on the team, but I just don't know. It's enough, and there's just, we have too many numbers at that spot right now for him to make the team. I think wide receiver, obviously Dez, T. Will, Butler, Bees, Switz are all making the team. I had Noah Brown. I just think he's done too many good things to let go, and he's shown us some stuff, and I think when you see him taking snaps with the first team, kind of as a motion in, kind of an H, motioned into an H back blocker, I think that's kind of the stuff that we talked about preseason about him potentially having a role on the roster doing. I think I even pointed that specifically out as something to watch. If he starts doing that kind of Dwayne Harris sort of wide receiver blocking role, that what they're doing is they're looking for him to have a role on the team. And that to me reads like they're trying to find him a way on the team. So I have Dez, T. Will, Butler, B. Switz, and Noah Brown all making the teams with six wide receivers. So I think that's probably what's going to end up happening. I think Noah Brown has just played himself onto the team at this point, just play after play after play. He's, he's had some drops, but I think he's also very much a developmental player. So I think he's worth saving. Tight end, I Witten, Hannah, Swaim, no surprise. I love the idea of them IRing Rico. I know that a lot of people don't. And my, good pal Joey Ikes being one of those guys, and Joey has some very, very, very legitimate points. It is problematic to IR a guy who needs practice snaps. I definitely can't argue that. I think that there are things that Rico can really work on in his game while not being around the team. I think that is certainly possible. And I also think that the mechanism of it, putting him on IR with the idea of returning, is a fantastic way to just have another roster spot for you for a guy that probably is going to be inactive for those weeks anyway. So I understand. I definitely understand the frustration some people might be having if they do that, because he definitely does need practice time. But I also very much understand why they're doing this, because I think this to them, in a world where they're having to make a whole bunch of tough decisions, this is a decision where they don't have to lose a guy. He just can't practice with them for a little while. And I think that that's might be a situation that is more preferable to, which would you rather have? Rico not being able to practice with the team for X amount of weeks, or us losing this guy completely to another team? And I think that depending on the situation and what the actual values are, the factors are in that equation, I think that, putting Rico on IR to return might be a suitable solution to this. Now, that whole equation may have changed now that Hitchens needs to go on IR, with IR return. But I at this point, I still wouldn't be surprised if it ended up happening. And then finally, I for offensive linemen, I ended up with eight. Smith, Cooper, Fred Beard, Martin, Lael Collins, Green, Looney, and Bell. I think that's a solid eight. I know, we listen to people talking about the depth or the lack of depth on this. I think with those guys, you can even dress seven and feel good. I feel because you get, you know, with Looney and Green, you can cover basically any injury that you have in game, as long as it's not more than two offensive linemen getting injured in the game. And if there is that situation, then man, you're in a tough spot as it is. But I tend to think that you can do that. I tend to think that eight offensive linemen can be done. And I really think that you might be able to do it if you kept an extra, if Rico didn't end up on IR. I think you just get an extra tight end. That's just another body that can end up helping you on the offensive line one way or another. I tend to think that I like eight offensive linemen, just because I don't love the ninth guy that I'm going to have to choose. And, I don't love Bell. I don't love Bell, but I think he's going to be a serviceable down roster, inactive offensive lineman. And I think that, you know, the seven that you've got as your main core, that's a good group. And I think you're going to be able to do what you need to do with that group. And like I said, and be able to withstand some injuries and be okay. So, that's my group, guys. That's who I got. Please leave feedback. Let me know what you guys think about it. We got a game coming up this Thursday, obviously, like I mentioned before, versus Houston in Dallas, not in Houston anymore. The game is actually, they just announced, I think it's going to be nationally televised on NFL Network, so make sure you check that out. Check out FanRag Sports throughout the week. They're going to have all kinds of different updates on the Cowboys and other teams as we get closer to roster cutdowns. And then make sure you follow me on Twitter, @McCoolBTB. And until next time, happy trails, everybody.